You'll find the Bible reading printed on the bulletin because we will recite it together. I wonder if you could recite it without looking at it. Does anybody think they can do that? Use it as a sort of cheat sheet. You know, it's one of those passages of the Bible that is really well known. And you may say, well, this is a strange reading for Pentecost. Right? Pentecost, we normally read Acts chapter 2. I'm not reading from there, but I will be referring to that. But I want us to read together Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In the presence of mine enemies, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Did anybody recognize there's something missing? Who was quick enough to pick it up? There is a verse that I want is missing. a section of it anyway. You anoint my head, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup. Thou anointest my head with oil, that phrase is what I wanted to... Maybe that's the reason why it's missing. Because I wanted you to discover that. What was the... I should have asked the question. What is the phrase that's missing? Thou anointest my head with oil. That's the phrase that I want us to think about anointing and being anointed. When I read Scripture, and when we read Scripture, it's always helpful if we can look into the context of what... why it's being written, who it's being written by, what were the circumstances of the time, can we understand something around what is written, and if we can, then we can then find out how we can apply it to us today. We know, and I've talked about the shepherd and David. Let's talk a little bit about David first of all. You know, David was probably the least of his brothers. His father had left him out on the fields to care for the sheep while his other brothers were engaged in war. When it came to the point of God having chosen somebody to be the next king of Israel, David was the last one that they would have guessed would have been called. But God knew something about David. And David knew something about being a shepherd. And that was something that is important. Was important, is important. David knew what it was to be a shepherd, to be a good shepherd. And so David knew the way that he cared for his sheep. He knew the way that he had concern for every single one of his sheep. And he compared the way that he cared for his sheep to that in the way in which God cared for him. It would only be a good shepherd who could pen these words. And as he penned these words, he wondered at the way in which the Lord was all that he needed. God was ever present with him. You know, as he looked at his own life, it's a personal testimony. It's something where he understands that God has chosen him. He had been anointed to be the next king of Israel. We're not sure exactly when he penned these words. But understand that David was going to be a leader, was going to be a shepherd of God's people. But he knew that there was one who he would follow, whose will he would seek to fulfill. David failed sometimes. We all fail sometimes. And so David was relating the way in which he cared for his sheep. He took them, he provided for them, took them by still waters, not where there's rushing waters where something could happen to them. He was always concerned about the sheep being safe. And the confidence the sheep would have in him as a shepherd, he had confidence in God. And we see that if we look to the way in which David, when he's sent by his father to his brothers to take supplies, and he could see that Goliath was taunting the children of Israel. And David offered to go. You can imagine him trying that armor on and being weighed down with it and feeling, there's no way that I could go and face Goliath this way. So he threw to one side the armor and he was determined he was going to face Goliath. And what did he take? He just took 5 smooth stones and a sling. And he only used one stone in the sling and he downed Goliath. As Goliath taunted him. You see, David had trust in God and knew that God was with him. He knew the power that he had. He knew that he was anointed by God. And so he demonstrated. All the armies of Israel were fearful. But David knew that if God is for him, the enemy is not to be feared. And so David penned these words and he describes about the way in which, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The presence of the shepherd with him, the presence of God with him. And then he talks about the way in which the rod and the staff, they comfort him. And then in the presence of my enemies, you prepare a table. And then he says, thou anointest my head with oil. I want to look at that just for a moment. About being anointed. Sheep are prone to... There were many in David's day, there were many enemies of the sheep. There were many animals that sheep had to be protected from. We know that David fought off, it says, a lion and a bear on a snowy day. And so David knew what it was that he would put his life in danger to protect his sheep. And we today know that the Lord Jesus is the one who is the good shepherd. And he gave his life for us, to protect us, to save us. So there are many enemies that can be seen, many enemies that we can be aware of, but there are some enemies that maybe a shepherd would be aware of, those who care for sheep would be aware of, that you or I would not be. We would be aware of the wild animals that could come. But sheep face a different enemy sometimes. They face sometimes flies, different kinds of flies, warble flies, face deer flies, mosquitoes, gnats, nasal flies. Sheep are especially troubled by the nose fly, the nasal fly. These little flies buzz around the sheep's head, attempting to lay their eggs on the damp mucous membrane of the sheep's nose. If they're successful, the eggs will hatch in a few days and it forms a small, slender, worm-like larvae. They work their way up the sheep's nasal passage and into the sheep's head. It causes severe irritation to the sheep. For relief, the sheep will beat their heads against a tree. They'll rub their heads on a rock. They'll try to find ways to alleviate it. But when the shepherd begins to see the signs of these tiny enemies, he will begin to apply an antidote to the sheep's head. The antidote is made up of several ingredients. Many times it's linseed oil, sulfur, and tar. And the shepherd smears it over the sheep's head and nose. Once the oil has been applied to the sheep's head, there is an immediate change in the animal's behavior. The aggravation is gone. The irritability is gone. And the animal can lie down and rest. Do you think sometimes that we can be irritated, we can be experience aggravation, we lack peace, we need the anointing of the oil. We need to recognize that sometimes we have the enemy of our souls is very busy. And we need that anointing. That's just one picture that we have. And I want to suggest to you that when it came to that time at Pentecost, the disciples already, last week we shared about the way in which Jesus had ascended. He had returned to heaven, but he had promised them. He had told them to wait in Jerusalem until they would be anointed, until they would be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And so the disciples were back in Jerusalem, praising God, but also there were those niggling problems, those irritations, those things that could come against them. And the shepherd knew, he had promised, and he knew that they would not be able to go on in their own strength. That they needed an anointing. And so we have what is described in Acts 2. A sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This was a new anointing. This was a new affirmation that they belonged, that someone cared about them, that Jesus had sent what he had promised. The Holy Spirit had come. And so as they were anointed, we have this picture of the oil that is anointing oil. The Holy Spirit who comes and works among them. And as they have that confidence then to go out because Jesus led them out. By the Spirit, they were moved out into the city of Jerusalem. They left behind that closed door where they were. And there they shared the good news of Jesus. And people there were so amazed the way in which they were talking to them. They could understand them in their own language. People from all over the world. Peter got up and said, in the last days God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And so here he is explaining to the people what is taking place, that they now have power from on high. God has moved them out and given them the protection that they need. The strength they need to move out. And so what a change in those men. As they shared the good news, as a challenge was put out, they knew the anointing. And then as people responded, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who fear the Lord, for all whom the Lord our God will call." So there was that. The message was that you too can experience this anointing. You too can know the Holy Spirit, that oil that will protect, that oil that will overcome evil, that oil that will change you, that oil of anointing, set apart, special, belonging. You see, David knew what it was that God had anointed him. And because of that, he said, "My cup overflows. My cup overflows." And you see what happened when the Holy Spirit descended upon those frightened disciples, and they were anointed by the Holy Spirit. They were baptized by the Holy Spirit. They went out into Jerusalem with great joy, sharing the joy that Jesus died, was buried, and risen again, ascended. And he has now sent his Spirit to be with us. And the book of Acts really should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, as they are anointed by God, as they go out and as they move and share the good news. It is evident that God, the Holy Spirit, is with them, that they have that anointing, they have that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Each one of us who have come to faith in Christ and opened our hearts to him, he has anointed us. He has given to us his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who will help us in the battle that we face day by day. The Good Shepherd wants to anoint our heads with oil. He wants us to experience the fullness of his Spirit. We talked about the wind earlier, and we need to be open to that. Sometimes we are closed to the way in which God wants to work because we think this is the way it should be done, and yet God says, "No, I'm going to do it a different way." In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul says to be filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians 5, verse 18, he says these words, as the Apostle Paul was one who was, he described himself as abnormally born, as the Holy Spirit anointed him, and as he went out and shared the good news, for what a transformation from one who opposed the gospel to one who presented the gospel. And in Ephesians 5, verse 18, he says this: "Be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Sing to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, the anointing, as God anoints us, as we need to go on being filled. It's not just a one-time experience or a two-time experience. It is an ongoing experience that we need to be anointed. You know, that oil needed to be, it would rub off and it would be need to be applied again. And we need to be open to the Holy Spirit, and we need to recognize that he has anointed us, and we have available to us the one who has overcome the enemy of our souls. And so we need to be open and continue to be filled. How do we open ourselves to God? Allow Him to anoint us, allow Him to fill us. I want to suggest that we sometimes take our eyes off the things that we see and just focus on Jesus and be open to Him. Ask Him to come, just as the wind. We can't see the wind, we can't see God, but we can feel His presence. And if we open ourselves to Him, He will move through us, and our lives will be transformed. Just as the sailboat was mentioned, when the sails are up, then the sailboat moves on, and that's the picture that we need to have. That we, as we open ourselves to God, He will move us on. He will lead us on. Thou anointest my head with oil. We are blessed. You know, there are many other pictures that we think of oil, and I'm not going to go to those, but you know, the prayer of faith, when the elders are called to pray for the sick, to anoint with oil. Again, it's just a picture of the Spirit of God who wants us to be open to Him. Don't block Him out. Be filled with the Spirit. You know, one of the things I encourage people to do sometimes is to play some good Christian music to help focus. Or just read the Scripture. Block yourself off and just read the Scriptures and ask God by His Spirit to open the Word to you. He will. He will do that. He doesn't force His way in. He wants us to be open to Him. You know, sometimes the devil really does have a go at us. And sometimes we may feel as if the enemy is laying eggs in our mind and it's driving us crazy. Maybe eggs of doubt, eggs of anger, insecurity, fear, depression, impure thoughts, eggs of bitterness. And you'd say, I need the good shepherd to anoint me with oil. I want to suggest that we can do that. Sometimes there are those things which come against us. Those things that irritate us, those things that annoy us. We have the Good Shepherd who cares for us, gave His life for us, and has given to us His Spirit. And so we can be anointed with His oil, that our cup overflows. You know, God will bless us abundantly. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, the abundant life, the life that is filled with God. You know, our lives are filled with all kinds of things, and God is very often pushed out. And when we open ourselves to God, what a difference it makes. You know, you have a good shepherd that loves you. He doesn't want to see the enemy destroy you with the lies that he brings. I want to share some words. And they could be a prayer for each one of us. As David knew the anointing of God. He knew the enemy that was coming against him. He knew that Saul wanted to have him killed. Yet he said, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, David had that confidence that God was with him. And throughout his life, he knew that. And so we can this morning know the anointing of God, Pentecost, a fresh anointing as he touches us, as we become open to him, prepared to move in the direction he wants us to move, not blocking things, not blocking out his spirit, but being open to his spirit. The words of a song, "Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole." May we recognize the anointing of God on our lives and continue to be open to know that he will protect us. We have to sometimes put on as what the Apostle Paul describes as the full armor of God. You see, the devil will come against us. Those flies, those enemies, little things. The bigger things we see, the smaller things sometimes we don't. Be open. Be confident of all that God has for each one of us. I want us to sing the hymn in closing, 328, and it's a hymn that we, as it were, invite God by his Spirit to come sweeping through us, to revive our church. 328, we'll stand to sing. Father, we just ask that we might be open to you, might recognize your anointing, that we might each be filled with your Spirit and have the confidence to move out, just as those early disciples moved out into Jerusalem. Where we find ourselves this week, Lord, we pray that you will continue to anoint us with oil, that we might have the confidence that knowing that you are leading us. So bless us and encourage us, we pray, in the days ahead, that we might continue to bring you glory through our lives, through our service for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.